Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
In this week's episode of The Real Housewives of Potomac, Candace Dillard Bassett answered questions about her decision to file charges against Monique Samuels, and Karen Huger tried to work out the disconnect with her husband, Ray.
As you guys know, I had the pleasure of interviewing the entire cast of The Real Housewives of Potomac for BravoTV.com's exclusive Season 5 After Show. In the latest installment, the ladies reacted to Candace waiting to press charges against Monique, and Karen opened up even more about the state of her marriage.
While Ray told Karen the fame and fortune have gone to her head, Karen revealed that she was hungry for success in recent years, which led her to move away from her marriage and be guilty of not striking a balance between her professional and personal life.
Plus, the women weighed in on whether it was fair for Ashley to defend Monique when she didn't actually witness the altercation.
Some of the voices you'll hear beyond the cast are producers and Daily Dish podcast guests, Real Housewives of Potomac executive producer Kamar Basharaj, and Bravo's VP of Current Production, Josh Brown.
AKA the people who know all the secrets. Let's listen in. Giselle, you actually asked Candace about the charges. You guys are all, I think, sitting down at the table and you ask her about it.
So Candace, a little earlier today, my phone just started like vibrating off the table as I got all these messages and messages and messages. So how you feeling?
I'm stressed. I only very recently filed the charges.
We all had heard the news. I think we were all surprised by it. And everyone had their own opinion about what should or shouldn't happen.
I was like, this just really got real.
The childishness of it all, to take something legally that you know you played a part in, and then try to sue me, possibly, and then want to see me in jail. I was just like, wow.
I think that at that point, you know, Candace had waited a while before she actually pressed charges.
I think that it's safe to say that I was probably expecting to hear from Monique. I was expecting her to call me or text me because I just knew that it would be, yeah, you know, girl, I lost my cool. You know, we were having a back and forth and it became, you know, something that I should have walked away from. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that it had to go there. I had rehearsed in my mind the different versions of how she was going to call and say that she was sorry or my bad. And it never came. No call, no text, no smoke signal, no singing telegram, nothing. It was radio silence.
Till today?
To this day. I mean, I guess you could consider her writing me a song, her speaking to me. She did write me a whole song. That was her way of communicating with me. But outside of that, I have not heard from her at all.
This is one of those sort of those moments of Shakespearean, you know, misunderstandings and miscommunications. Like, to my understanding, Monique was about to reach out to Candace and apologize. She was composing a letter or an email or something like that. And I think if Candace knew that, she might not have filed the charges. And if Monique had moved a little quicker, it also might not have happened.
I think a part of her waiting, you know, she waited for whatever reasons, but I think a part of it was she really did feel like Monique was her friend and she didn't want to throw her friend like under the bus.
I don't deal with the law. I don't deal with the court. I don't do none of that. I pay my taxes and I mind my business. I don't want to deal with the court, with the law. I need this to go away. So the fact that I had to go and do that, it makes my sternum heavy to think about that I had to do that. It's not comfortable. I wasn't comfortable doing it. I didn't want to have to do that.
But after, as time went by And as Candace was getting, just as Robin would say, bullied on social media, losing jobs, you know, it's very clear that Monique is going around single-handedly laughing, trying to destroy Candace's life.
But I'm also not going to let you sun me or play me or come at me sideways. You want to play dirty? Okay, bitch, let's dance. Okay? Let's dance at this Montgomery County Courthouse. Okay? 5, 6, 7, 8. Let's do that.
At that point, Candace was like, oh yeah, that girl can go straight to jail. As a matter of fact, put the jail on top of her house. You know, Candace at that point had had it, and rightly so. Like, enough already. I was feeling, we were all feeling just really bad for Candace. Well, except Ashley.
It made me look at Candace a little bit like, huh, you did that? Like, you would actually do that? Knowing everything that's at stake for Monique.
I got 3 whole kids here. And for her to go down that road, to me, was just so unnecessary. It was very nasty. And it really just showed her true character.
I understood that Candace felt like she'd been wronged and that she was upset. But to take it to that level just made me feel a little bit like, you know, that little, really?
We had 2 people in this fight. And to sit there and talk about Monique's situation, whatever that is, based upon the charges, to me was not fair. And I didn't need to be a part of that conversation because it would seem as though I was choosing. And I wasn't. I wanted the best for Monique and I wanted the best for Candace. It was a difficult position to be in this season. And so as many times as I needed to excuse myself from any conversation concerning that fight, I tried my best to do it.
Ashley continues to defend Monique, and yes, she does so at the Sip and See.
It actually started with a yelling match on both sides that, from what I understand, escalated. You were in her face, not saying she was right.
I was not in her face.
You were in her face.
Were you there?
Ashley, you weren't there.
You weren't there, Ashley.
I don't even want to hear what you got to say about this, Ashley, because you weren't there. You were on the toilet. Your pants were around your ankles. You were not seeing the nonsense. So her view will always be skewed.
I understand that I wasn't there to see the fight. I didn't have to be there to know that Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. I understand these things happen.
Well, actually, I and Monique have grown. I mean, I even question their defense of one another so quickly without seeing facts sometimes. You know, I get that. But I wouldn't expect anything less than that of that from Ashley. That's how she and Monique rolls, and I respect it.
So I believe it's like that alliance type thing. I really think it's that. Like, she chose to be on Monique's side because she didn't want to lose Monique's support versus Candace. In my opinion, yeah.
It's just frustrating to me because I feel like Candace doesn't really understand that I have a friendship with Monique, and she just so much wants to believe that our friendship is fake, and she wants to believe that we're going to turn on each other and that this is all for show. It's very hard for her to think and believe that we actually do have a real friendship, and the thought of any of that going to the full mile and her ending up in jail and being away from her kids was gut-wrenching for me.
When they read the charges and what could have happened, Ashley, who is a new mom, took that very, I think she took it the most to heart, because if anything happened to Monique, she would literally be away from her kids.
Of course she's going to defend her friend, you know? And of course she's, you know, especially if they feel that she feels that the group is coming against Monique, and Candace is sitting right there saying, oh, she doesn't deserve to go to jail. Of course Ashley's going to say something. Ashley's a new mom, but that spirit has not died, okay?
This is someone who was not physically privy. Like, your eyes did not land on the chain of events. Mm-hmm. So how is it that you have such an opinion?
She, you know, probably had conversations with Monique.
I understand. Because you have allowed Monique to lay it on thick, the bullshit that she wanted you to know.
So Monique is giving Ashley and feeding Ashley this one-sided story that is not true.
I can imagine that Ashley's sort of in a tough position because she wants to believe her friend Monique, but she also knows that, like, we wouldn't make stuff up. She almost got a pass because she wasn't forced to make tough opinions or assumptions about her friend because she didn't see it. So it's like, where Karen was there, she saw it. Karen is no excuse.
I understand why Ashley did that. And that was a good friend to Monique at the time. But my position, the only position I could take, was to remove myself because I cared for both of them.
I was not here for Ashley in that moment. And I didn't want to hear from her. I didn't want to hear anything she had to say. I feel like she was operating at a deficit. You are operating in a space of not knowing what is going on. So just sit there and eat your food.
Monique is my friend, and I still have some sort of relationship with Candace. So quite frankly, my outlook and my perspective on this issue is just as valid as everybody else.
Candace even makes a comment that you're being paid to defend Monique.
Is she paying you as well to speak for her,
no,
and be her mouthpiece?
You have been very aggressive toward me.
I don't know what Candace is thinking. I made it very clear to her. I'm already married to a millionaire, honey. Like, I already got some commas in my bank account. I'm doing just fine. I don't really need the Samuels to provide me any coinage.
She has, as she did with every Tom, Dick, and Harry and blog and fake journalist and whoever would listen, she has given you her lie of a story.
Listen, again, you're talking to the wrong chick. I don't do bloggers. I don't pay bloggers. I wish them well. But that sounds like a reach, doesn't it, to you? Does that sound realistic to you?
There are a lot of things you can reach for, but that just really isn't one of them. Candace knows full on well that I have a real relationship with Monique. She can say whatever she wants and try to denigrate and really just downplay our relationship. But quite frankly, the friendship I have with Monique is real, and she really knows it. Candace needs to go kick rocks and think about herself, do a little bit of self-reflection, and leave me the hell alone.
Well, Robin, you are always early this season, even when you are late. So you are the absolute very first to arrive before Wendy and Eddie even get there.
Oh my God. Hi, how are you? I'm all by myself. But like, getting there early, I was like, oh, this is going to make me start being late again, because I was literally like looking around, walking around, like, okay, does anyone need help setting up? Like, I'm about to start being late again, because I would rather walk in when the party's jumping than when no one's there.
I had a very good indication that this was going to be a grand fête when I realized the party started at like 8 o'clock at night. And really, in Nigerian time, that means like 11 o'clock at night.
Nigerian time means if the invite says 6, the celebrants are not coming in till 10.
That's, yes.
So you have to be very clear. We're saying 6 because we want you to start getting ready in hair and makeup by 6. So you can be in your car by 8:39 so you can come at 10.
I've been to a couple Nigerian parties, and I know that they do things different. They party all night long. It never starts on time. So, you know, I was prepared for all of that. But this was on a whole nother level. Like, I really enjoyed myself.
That is Nigerian culture. And that wasn't even big. Like, that was just like you want to do a sip and see? Okay, let's do a sip and see. Come on, let's get together. Like, that was, listen. That was what I like to call the prelude. That is the prelude to Nigerian culture.
I was and I am just over the moon that America, that these United States and the global community are getting to see a narrative of a Black woman that we don't normally get on primetime television. This sip and see was so Black and so African and so Nigerian and so culturally rich and fun. It was everything. It was everything. It was everything.
We didn't even bring in like the live band. Yes. We didn't even bring in the masquerade. Like, we didn't even bring in the high chiefs from Nigeria. Like, do you understand?
They don't.
Nigerian culture. You don't get it.
They don't.
But y'all gonna get into it. So thank you, Robin, for being on time. But you guys have to learn, Nigerian time is different. How about this? When it was over and we were clearing things, cars were coming in and walking. Yes. People were walking into the party and saying, where's the party? I said,
auntie, we gotta go. People were coming in. We're dressed to the nines. Aunties were dressed to the nines.
Ready to be seen.
Ready to be seen. They said, my aunties were coming in. They were like, ah, I thought Bravo. I dressed for Bravo. Bravo left. Then Bravo. I said, yes. So like, I thought, where's Real Housewives of Potomac? Isn't it here? I said, yes, it is, but you're late,
buddy. Okay. Next time, we got a question. Yes. Oh, my God. I love it.
We see you and Ray go on a little walk together. You're talking a little bit more about what's going on in your relationship.
Ooh. I am grasping for straws here because the disconnect that we're experiencing. I'm wondering, the businesswoman I'm becoming, the public personality I'm becoming, are those things intimidating to you?
I've been married to Ray for 24 years. For 17 years, my name was not Karen. It was Ray's wife, Brandon's mom, or Raven's mom, which was super cool. And, you know, I think it was very challenging for Raymond to see me grow outside of that role.
You have to remember, she was raised that the women didn't do the work. That was for the men. And if you hear Ray speaks that way as well. So when Karen is now at a point where she's a new generation woman, she wants to be out there working and doing her thing. A, that wasn't how she was raised to think that women were supposed to really be the, you know, the head of household or be the breadwinners. And Ray didn't grow up thinking that way either.
It certainly had an impact on us because I'm dedicated to my brand. I'm dedicated to building my business one stone at a time. And I was guilty of not striking a balance with that. And it did not help my marriage at all. I think it made Ray feel less important to me, which was not the case.
He kind of says, you know, he thinks maybe the fame has gone to your head a little bit.
I was just wondering whether you realized that possibly some of this fame and fortune has gone to your head.
Look, I am one big bubble of an ego, okay? Hello? So that shouldn't even be a question. I think it was the success. I was hungry for the success. I wanted to make my parents proud, and that's what really took me away from my marriage. The memory of them, how I was raised, what I was taught to do. If you're going to do something, you got to give it your best.
She is really excited about, you know, going in these new directions in, you know, in her life during these years that she's on Housewives. Like when Karen talks to me, you know, off camera, obviously about the fragrance and what she's doing, she's not cynical. You don't feel like, oh, I'm just doing this for the money. Like, she is really excited to be an entrepreneur and like, oh, I'm in Bloomingdale's now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's thrilled. Like, she's doing something for herself and kind of a new thing for her. And it's big. So I think it's taking some adjustment from Ray to, you know, adjust to a new Karen.
Ray and I are facing a situation which says, where do we go from here? Because it's easy when you have the kids and you have to raise them. You know what to do. Daily, you know what to do. But when your children are grown, you're left with each other like, you still here? And I thought my marriage was strong enough to take anything. I misjudged.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.